You're listening to an Upper Room Chat with Trevor Leach on PrayerfulLiving.com. Today, Trevor shares thoughts on the Doctrine of Atonement. Be sure to also download the handout which Trevor refers to in his remarks. Each week, we publish numerous resources for Bible lesson study as part of the Prayerful Living VIP Pass membership. If you are not currently a Prayerful Living VIP Pass member, we invite you to join by going to csdirectory.com/rewards. Now, here's Trevor.
Well, a warm welcome to those of you who are joining us for this very short introduction to this week's lesson, The Doctrine of Atonement, for the 20th of April 2014. I invite you to sit back and reflect on our Bible lesson for this week, on the importance of it, on the sincerity and truth of it, and in the radical nature, the power of it to change our lives. I'd like you to imagine that we've all been invited to spend some time with Jesus, to have an opportunity for him to share with us some of his teachings. The Bible calls them the doctrine of Christ. So now let us just put a few moments aside to be at one with Christ. And this week's lesson includes, in section 6, a spiritual idea taken from the letter of 2 John. There's only one chapter to that letter. So on verse 9, it's in this week's lesson, he that hath the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. You might say, as we dwell in the revelation that Jesus has brought, the doctrine of Christ, this enables us to grasp, perceive, understand the very nature of God himself and Christ, his divine manifestation, the Son of God. Section 1 of this week's lesson really gets down to basics and starts from the fundamental truth of the nature of God and God's relationship to man. It does this in those words that we are so familiar with, I and my Father are one. We all know that this concept was really central to Jesus' mission and his practice of the science of Christ. We might ask ourselves, do we really understand this concept of oneness? Well, in the first section, the Father is explained as divine, divine life, divine truth, divine love. And this spiritual fact is foundational to us learning the doctrine of Christ. It is absolutely essential for us to grasp that we're not talking of mortal life, material life. Jesus is sharing with us immortal life, divine life, eternal life. And in that sharing, he's giving us a handle on understanding our oneness with God and he's demolishing the belief of duality. A divine God up in heaven and a mortal sinning man here on earth, the doctrine of Christian Science is the scientific unity of God and man, as we perceive that God is our parent mind and Christ is the manifestation of that mind as a spiritual idea. Mary Baker Eddy focuses on this oneness in her scientific statement of being when she says, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. And so from this fundamental standpoint, that God is all in all, we are then set free from the carnal, mortal, material limitations of mortal man, and we awake from the mortal dream to recognize that we are the substantial reflection of infinite spirit. We are the spiritual image and likeness of God, our Father. We're part of a divine family, and we're governed day by day by divine truth, divine life, and divine love. The second section takes us to consider, to meditate, to consolidate our understanding of Jesus' revelation of the kingdom of heaven. We know this isn't a location, it's a state of consciousness. And we know that in this consciousness, harmonious consciousness of spiritual being, we are inseparable from our Father, Mother, God. As we dwell, abide, live in this habitual consciousness of divine love, we perceive the kingdom of heaven, of peace, of harmony, of balance, of order, of dominion. And this kingdom of heaven is the doctrine of Christ. In the third section, we're inspired to use our spiritual senses to see man as the true image of God, dwelling in eternal harmony as a peaceful expression of incorporeal soul. As we gain a Christ-like understanding of scientific being, and as we bear witness to a perfect God and perfect man as the essence of being, this is the doctrine of Christ. Now, using our spiritual senses, we can only see man in God's image. Oh, perfect, free, having dominion. Thus we are redeemed from the false mortal belief of fallen man and man as a miserable sinner. So we've looked at the first half of the lesson, and now we move on to section four. In section four, we see how Christ rolls away the stone. We can think of that as any human or material blockage to spiritual growth and understanding, to our spiritual advancement. And as we make room for the Christ in our lives, the truth, and dwell and abide in that truth, our thought will be automatically spiritualized, and material belief, mortal belief, will yield to spiritual understanding. This is a practical explanation of at-one-ment with Christ. And in that at-one-ment, we demonstrate that spiritual fact that Mary Baker Eddy discovered and demonstrate it, that God is our life. So we glimpse that we are the immortal representative of eternal life, the liberated manifestation of omnipotent truth, the spiritual idea of omniscient mind, the perfect image of omnipresent love. Having reached a stage of spiritual understanding, perfect God and perfect man, we're ready to work with Christ in healing the sick, in the science of Christ. We're ready to embrace the reality of the immortal and the eternal, and let the mortal false sense of being drop away, as we recognize that we are the enlightened likeness of divine principle, reflecting divine power. We are ready to do the greater works that Jesus promised. You remember he said, if you believe in me, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. The teachings of the Christ expounded in the first five sections are summarized in section 6. As we abide in this doctrine of Christ, we understand the nature of God, as Mrs. Eddy revealed in the 7 synonyms, and the attributes of God she revealed, such as God's incorporeal, divine, infinite, and eternal nature. Based on this foundation of an understanding of our Father, Mother, God, we are then ready to embrace the concept of the Christ and our Christliness as God's image and likeness, the beloved son and daughters of God. Instead of taking in the aggressive mental suggestions promoted on our televisions daily about war, about terrorism, we can stand and be counted bearing witness to man as the peaceful expression of incorporeal soul. Section 6 brings out that as we've turned away from the material sense of things, as the mist of mortality rises, we discern a newness of life in divine science and advance spiritually into at-one-ment. Over recent weeks, I've been sharing on an interfaith basis with other Christians this sheet, Gaining a Better Understanding of Our True Identity. I was touched by the voice translation, 1 John 1:3. You'll see it at the top of that sheet, where it says, our family is united by our connection with the Father and His Son. That speaks to me about our ecumenical responsibility to embrace our brothers and sisters in Christ in other denominations. And you'll see that on this sheet, I've been sharing the reference from 2 John 1:9, which is in this week's lesson. He that abideth in the doctrine of the Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Undergirding this sharing, I've been embracing Logia 3 in the Gospel of Thomas, which is also included on that sheet. And there Thomas records Jesus as saying, as part of his teaching, the doctrine of Christ, when you know yourselves, then you will be known, and you will understand that you are children of the living Father. To me, that seems foundational for our ecumenical activity. We can't love our neighbors ourselves if we don't love ourselves. And so we have to start by understanding the nature of the Father, and then we can understand the nature of the Son, and then we can understand our divine family and embrace spiritually all those in the other churches who find Christian Science so difficult to appreciate. As we have a clarity of perception of our spirituality, of our spiritual inheritance, of our oneness with God, our inseparability from Christ, then we're ready to share with our brothers and sisters in the other churches. I came across that statement from Clement, which supposedly was written in AD 94. Through Christ, we taste immortal knowledge. So this doctrine of the Christ that teaches us our immortality, our spirituality, our godliness, our Christliness, is fundamental to us complying with Jesus' command to believe the truth, to believe the Christ, and to do the greater works. As we understand our oneness with God, then we can say with Jesus, I go unto my Father. So, dear friends, let us appreciate the vitality, the power of the truth as revealed to us in our Bible lesson this week on Doctrine of Atonement. Let's use it as an opportunity to be at one with Christ, to be blessed by the Father, to learn the doctrine of Jesus, to live in the consciousness of love, to stay permanently in the kingdom of heaven, and to experience and manifest eternal harmony. God bless you all, encourage you, inspire you. I wish you a very, very happy Easter.